Hello there. Welcome to another life-transforming sermon with Dr. Dazwe Tachero.
Now, this morning, what is our theme this year? It's multiplication, isn't it? Now, this morning, I want to speak on the subject fasting and multiplication. Fasting and multiplication. Somebody say fasting and multiplication. Now, nowadays, you will agree with me that people fast for different things or in different ways. It's not the real fast that is in the Bible, but people have tried to work around this fasting principle, and they try to fast different things to at least qualify, you know, the practice of fasting in their lives. People do what we call a social media fast. People do a television fast. People do screen fast. People do starch fast. They don't eat starch. People do internet fast. They don't go on internet. People even do intimacy fast, especially for couples. I'll not go deeper than that. But I believe the foundation of Christian fasting is abstaining from food. Biblical fasting, ladies and gentlemen, is the practice of abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. If you just abstain from food and there is no spiritual purpose attached to it, then that is hunger strike. But if you fast for spiritual reasons, and what are these spiritual reasons? Is to pray, is to worship, is to delve deeper into God's presence so that you may experience Him and have Him more in your life. If you don't attach such, principles to your fast, then it is hunger strike. So biblical fasting has to do with abstaining from food so that you may devote yourself to prayer. You may devote yourself to Bible study. You may devote yourself to worship. You may be closer to God. That's why we've not been eating for the last few days. We have not been eating real food. Praise the Lord. Now, in the ancient times, fasting was a common practice. For example, Moses fasted for 40 days. Elijah fasted for 40 days. The disciples of John the Baptist were also known for fasting. The inhabitants of Nineveh fasted until God pardoned them. The Pharisees used to fast a lot. In fact, everybody knew when the Pharisees fasted because they contorted their faces. They didn't apply oil on their faces. You know, their hair was unkempt. They were sad. And everybody knew that the Pharisees were fasting. Jesus as well, who is our Lord and Savior, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, today, ladies and gentlemen, it is sad to see that a lot of believers do not fast. In fact, we prefer feasting than fasting. We eat a lot from January to December, from Monday to Monday. Some people have 4 square meals in a day. I was hosted with a family one time in a country that does not begin with a K. And I was so surprised that in the middle of the night, I could hear a lot of commotion. So in the morning, I asked my host, there was a lot of commotion, during the night. Is everything okay? He said, yeah, everything is fine. We were waking up to go and have, midnight snack. I said, wow. That's amazing that you can actually get out of your bed to go and eat and then go back to sleep. I'm telling you, that's another level. So we eat a lot, and we prefer feasting than fasting. If I make an announcement that there will be free food here today at 7 p.m., you'll be so surprised. Or even at midnight. Say at midnight we're going to have a party. You'll be so surprised. You know, on 28th, when we were casting the slab for the church, I decided that we are going to do mbuzi choma here for the guys who are around. So I passed a message around, and the reaction I got made me suspend my plans. Because a lot of people are not happy that how can you do something like that when you know we have traveled. So the mbuzi is still alive. But we prefer eating than fasting. But fasting is a very cardinal principle as far as our Christian faith is concerned. In Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 35, the scribes and Pharisees asked Jesus, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." Ladies and gentlemen, we are in those days of fasting. Jesus is not with us in bodily presence. Therefore, we are living in the days of fasting. We must fast because these are the days that the bridegroom is not with us in bodily presence. And Jesus said, "When I will not be with them in bodily presence, then they will fast." So tell your neighbor, these are the days of fasting. So you and I, we are living in the days of fasting, and we are supposed to inculcate the discipline of fasting in our lives. When you fast, it humbles you. I need to say that again. When you fast, it humbles you. When you fast, you become broken in a way. When you fast, you become spiritual. When you fast, you are sanctified and you are cleansed from impurities that have accumulated in your spirit because of too much eating. You see, when you fast, there is a cleansing that takes place in your body. Your body shuts down and begins to do internal repairs. It's the same thing that happens to your spirit man. When you fast, there is a cleansing, there is rejuvenation that takes place in your spirit when you fast. That's why you see, when you fast, when you read the Bible in the book of Isaiah chapter 58, it talks about the benefits that will take place in your body when you fast. The body is cleansing itself. All of a sudden, your face is smoother. All of a sudden, you feel lighter. You feel your brain is sharp. When you wake up in the morning, you are strong. Hallelujah. I hope that is your experience as well. You feel very nice in your body. Praise the Lord. Your digestive system, you know, is able to be to reset itself. And you remove a lot of impurities, you know, in your body. That's why you realize that even what is coming out of you is clean. Oh, Lord. It is very clean. Yeah. And you generally feel healthy, you know, when you fast. So the same thing that happens to your flesh is the same thing that happens to your body is the same thing that happens to your spirit. Your spirit is cleansed, Your spirit is rejuvenated. Your spirit is positioned, you know, to be able to hear the voice of God clearly. So when you don't fast, you disconnect yourself from God. When you don't fast, that means you're always worshiping food. And you know there are people who worship food. They literally bow down before food and worship food. When they see food, they have an emotional connection with food. It's true. I mean, there are people I know, when they see githeri, it's like they want to cry. There are people, it's like ugali is almost next to God. That's why when you give them any other type of food, they will eat as they wait for you to bring ugali. Will you have tea? Yes. Let me take the tea as I wait. That's why the Bible says some people, their God is their belly. It's like the belly has become their God. And they are worshiping their belly. And their belly dictates their choices, dictates everything about their life. So when you fast, you break away from the slavery of your stomach. You break away from the slavery of your fleshly appetites. And God begins to control your life. Can I hear an amen in the house? Look at your neighbor and tell them, we must fast because we are living in the days of fasting. Fasting humbles you and moves you closer to God. So fasting, ladies and gentlemen, is the key to many blessings in our lives. And God has given us the theme for this year, which is multiplication. For us to see this theme manifest in our lives, in this church, in our families, in our homes, in tangible ways, then we must inculcate the habit of fasting. Can I hear an amen? And I want you to understand that we don't fast to get blessings. No. We fast so that God can have us. So that God can be God in our lives. So that God can be number one in our lives. And when God has us, then he can give us what we desire. So we don't fast to get breakthroughs. No, we fast to move closer to God. We fast so that the flesh can die and the spirit can arise within us. And we can be sensitive to the voice of God and to the leading of God. And when God knows that he has us, whatever we desire, he will give unto us. Praise the Lord. Because when you fast, you align your desires with God's desires. That's why the Bible says that delight yourself in the Lord and he shall grant the desires of your heart. You know, we always like the part B only. God shall grant the desires of your heart. But you and I know that most of our desires are corrupted. God cannot just grant any desire that is in your heart. Look at your neighbor and tell them, some desires that I have, I can't even tell you. They are crazy desires. So God cannot grant every desire that is in your heart. So the first thing you need to do is to delight yourself in the Lord. And fasting makes you to delight yourself in the Lord. And when you delight yourself in the Lord, then he shall grant the desires of your heart. Because your desires are aligned to the desires of God. I'm preaching better than your responses. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, it is time to fast. So as we get closer to God, and when God has us, you know, when we are full of God, the blessings that we desire, then God is going to release them in our lives. If you desire multiplication, God is going to do it in your life. If you desire breakthrough, God is going to do it in your life. If you desire increase in whichever area in your life, God is going to do it because of fasting, which has moved you closer to him. Praise the Lord. Fasting is a catalyst of multiplication. Fasting is a catalyst of blessings in our lives. Fasting is a catalyst of increase in our lives. When God has us, whatever we desire, because our desires are aligned to his desire, he's going to grant it to us. Amen. So how does fasting trigger multiplication? Because that's our theme this year, and we are believing God for multiplication in our lives. We are believing God for multiplication in every aspect of our lives. We're going to multiply financially. We're going to multiply our businesses. Somebody ought to say amen. We're going to multiply our branches as a church. Hallelujah. We are going to experience multiplication of opportunities in our lives in Jesus' name. You will be spoiled for choice this year because there will be many, many opportunities for you. Can you shout aloud, amen? So how does fasting trigger multiplication in our lives? Number one, fasting increases wisdom. Fasting increases wisdom. We all need wisdom. A simple definition of wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's not just enough for you to accumulate facts, but it's important for you to know how those facts apply to your life. So wisdom gives you the ability to apply the knowledge that you have accumulated. So when you fast, you move closer to God, as I've said, which in turn makes you a recipient of his wisdom. Remember, there is worldly wisdom and there is wisdom from above. So when you fast, you move closer to God. And when you move closer to God, you become a recipient of divine wisdom. You will agree with me that this life is full of multiple challenges. There are so many challenges in this world. There are challenges in ministry. There are challenges in marriage. There are challenges in your business. There's a lot of, you know, things that we encounter. Some of them we were not even prepared for. Nobody told you that when this thing comes, this is how you're supposed, you know, to behave, isn't it? So I've realized that this life, as I grow old, I've realized that this life is full of so many challenges. Leadership has its own challenges. Pastoring has its own challenges. Fatherhood has its own challenges. Motherhood has its own challenges. Being a man has its own challenges. Some of you ladies, you wish you were born a man. Oh, talk to us. We will tell you, stay as a lady. It has its own challenges. For me, I don't desire to be a woman because I've seen your challenges. So everything in this life has its own challenges. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So challenges will always be there. And there are times when you don't even have a template to know how to deal, you know, with a challenge that is confronting you. So what will you need at that particular point? You will need wisdom. Somebody shout wisdom. You will need wisdom. And sometimes when you're confronted with multiple challenges, you will need a vast reservoir of wisdom to be able to navigate around those challenges. There is no better example than the life of Job. If I was to think about somebody that faced multiple challenges in his life. Job chapter 1, if you could go there quickly, from verse 13 to 19. And then we're going to read chapter 2 and verse 7. This is Job. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Keep going quickly. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabians raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servant and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, look at that. Another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. So you can see that he was moving from one crisis to another. You have had the phrase, when it rains, it pours. I think that's what was happening in the house of Job. One crisis after the other. Before he recovers from one another one happens. Before he digests one, another happens. And when you jump to Job chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Now, you and I know that one boil can really stress you. And some of these boils that attack us, they don't have very good manners because they just choose particular areas. Tell your neighbor, Lord, have mercy on you. Now, can you imagine boils all over the body? From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And very painful. Yeah, that he was trying to scrape them. And he's mourning. He's lost his servants. He's lost his property. And he's lost his children. And now he's lost his health. Boils all over the place. You can imagine the kind of pain that Job was growing through. So these were multiple challenges that confronted Job. That's what I'm saying. You need an increase of wisdom. And fasting increases wisdom in your life. So that when you encounter multiple challenges, you have a vast reservoir of wisdom. A place where you can go and draw wisdom to be able to deal with multiple challenges in your life. Can I get an amen? When you look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, the Bible says, and Jesus increased. Somebody shout increased. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You need to increase in wisdom because at a certain point in your life, you will face multiple challenges. You know, Job did not pray for these multiple challenges. Job, I'm sure he didn't even expect these multiple challenges, but they just happen. And there are times when we are confronted with multiple challenges. We are not prepared for them. We don't even pray. We don't even pray that they should happen in our life, but they just come one after the other, from one crisis to another, from one disappointment to another, from one heartbreak to another, from one challenge to another, from one, you know, difficulty to another. It just happens. That's why you need to increase in wisdom. Jesus increased in wisdom. He didn't just grow, you know, in stature, but he also increased in wisdom. He was moving from one level of wisdom to another. He was moving from one dimension of wisdom to another. So that means that Jesus had a vast reservoir of wisdom. And I pray that through this fasting, that you will have the same experience as well. You will have a vast reservoir of wisdom inside of you to deal with multiple challenges. Can I get an amen? So how does fasting increase wisdom? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is being faced with temptations. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. I want to show you something here very powerful. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. So tell your neighbor he was fasting. He ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was very hungry. Of course, when you're done fasting, you'll be hungry, isn't it? And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Now that is wisdom beginning to flow out of the life of Jesus because of fasting. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Look at the next verse. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He's bringing another temptation. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Verse 7. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. This is another temptation for money. And money also has temptation. Hallelujah. That's why our girls are dying. Anyway, let's just move on swiftly. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall do what? You shall serve. That is wisdom oozing out of the life of Jesus to deal with multiple temptations. Next verse, verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. The devil even knows scriptures. And he quotes scriptures to Jesus, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 12. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord, your God. So you can see wisdom is flowing out of Jesus to deal with these temptations that Satan is bringing his way. Verse 13. What happened? Verse 13. And when the devil had ended every temptation, when the devil had ended every temptation, he tried to get Jesus in every possible way to succumb to temptation. But Jesus had an answer to every temptation. Jesus had a way out of every temptation. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. That means he was saying, I am leaving, but I shall be back. Are you understanding what I'm preaching to you this morning? That's why you need a vast reservoir of wisdom, because the devil has not left you yet. Challenges are still there. Difficulties are still there. Temptations are still there. What will keep you afloat is wisdom. What will make you navigate through every challenge that comes your way? It will be wisdom. But you will not have it if you don't inculcate the practice of fasting. Jesus was confronted by Satan after he had fasted. He was from a place of fasting. He had fasted for 40 days and he was hungry, but the devil came to tempt him. So the body was weak, but the spirit was strong. Talk to me, somebody. The body was weak, but his spirit was full of wisdom. That's why I'm encouraging every believer here. You can't be eating from January to December, and you convince me that you'll be able to deal with challenges in your life. It is a lie. You need to fast. You need to say no to food so that you receive wisdom from above. And the more you fast and the more you move closer to God, the more that wisdom increases in your life. And when you encounter various difficulties and challenges in your life, you'll be able to deal with them the way Jesus was able to deal with his challenges after fasting. Can I hear an amen? So I declare to you, as you fast this week, may there be an increase of wisdom upon your life in Jesus' name. For those who have been fasting, may there be an increase of wisdom upon your life in Jesus' name. You will not be stranded. The devil will not put you down. The devil will not destroy you. You will not take a wrong turn in the name of Jesus. As you fast, may the wisdom of God increase and multiply in your life to empower you to deal with difficulties that will come your way. If you believe it, shout a louder amen. Number two, fasting increases power. There are levels of power in the spirit. There are dimensions of power in the spirit. We are not on the same level spiritually. There are levels. Somebody say there are levels. You know, I've studied Benny Hinn for many, many years, and he fascinates me. How he operates in power. He just fascinates me how he has this very close relationship with the Holy Spirit and how he can flow with the anointing. I watch his crusades and I see the miracles. It's fantastic. It's amazing. And he does it in a very simple way. Somebody on my right is being healed right now. The guy comes out of the crowd. Somebody on the left is being healed right now. The guy comes out. It looks very easy. And you think you can also do it. Somebody on the right. Somebody on my left. These are dimensions. in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are levels in the spirit. You know, I've been to Bonke's crusades. Bonke Pastor. I've been to his crusades here in Africa. He's an apostle of Africa. He's a German missionary who came to Africa to do crusades in Africa. I've been to his crusades. I mean, he preaches very simple messages. And then he prays for the sick. A very short prayer. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal the sick who have come today. We rebuke every sickness in Jesus' name. Amen. Then he tells them, start coming and testify. You see wheelchairs. It looks easy. You feel like you can also do it. Father, in the name of Jesus. Look, there are dimensions in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I've been to Evangelist Doug Heward Mills' crusades. I took some of you there. Simple prayer that he prays. And miracles begin to take place. Fantastic miracles. I was with him in Tanzania. I saw miracles until I started crying. Very simple. You look at him, he's not even sweating. He's not praying like some intercessors the way they pray. You hear tongues you've never heard before. Ko. You wonder, is it a hen, a chicken, or what? Hey. Simple prayer and fantastic miracles are taking place. Beautiful. Awesome. I've watched Catherine Kuhlman, a great woman of God. Studied her. She's a great general. Very simple prayer. She prays. I was watching a miracle. She prayed for a doctor who never believed in miracles. But one day that doctor was told by another doctor, this year you're going to die. Because they discovered that he had cancer. Then that doctor went to Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. And he got healed. Just like that. He just went to the meeting and he got healed. God is amazing. Dimensions. I'm telling you, dimensions in the spirit. Yeah, I've studied all these miracle workers. T.L. Osborne, Benson Idahosa, Oral Roberts. Studied them, watched them. And you can tell there's something different. There's a command they have in the spirit. Yeah. I've been to Bishop Lai's church. Massive building. I've been to his crusades. Miracles. Yes. He's a Kenyan. For those who don't know. And the prayers they are making in those meetings are very simple prayers. But you can tell that this is somebody who is in another level in the spirit. And they know it's not how loud you are. In the name. No. Simple prayer. Is the authority they carry. There's something that they have in the spirit. There is a level they have reached in the spirit. It's an amazing level. But look, you can't just get there by eating from January to December. For having four square meals in a day and waking up in the midnight for a snack. Tell your neighbor, it can never happen, please. It can never happen. You must fast. You must draw close to God. Because the power you're looking for is not in food. I say the power you're looking for is not in food. It's not in fries. And it's not in avocado. The power you're looking for is in God. And for you to be a recipient of that power, you must fast and move closer to God. And when God has you, then he can be able to release that power in your life. You demonstrate power in keeping with the level of your spiritual appetite. You see, when you fast, it increases your spiritual hunger for God. And because your hunger for God has increased, you move closer to God. And when you move closer to God, out of this relationship, your faith is built to become a custodian of supernatural power. You see, we talk about faith, but many of us, we don't really have faith. We don't really have faith. We are quick to doubt than to believe God. We are quick to think it cannot happen than to believe God. And the reason why it happens like that is because of your stomach. Your stomach is full of pilau njeri. Your stomach is full of ugali. Your stomach is full of githeri. Your stomach is full of food. So you are more carnal than you are spiritual. So faith is a foreign language to you. You can't speak it. You want everything to make sense because your stomach has become your king. But when you fast, and I pray that we shall become a church that fasts. When we fast, we move close to God. And when we move close to God, our faith is built. It's built. And when your faith is built, I'm telling you, there is nothing that will become impossible to you. Can I hear an amen? Very soon you'll be praying for the sick and they will get healed. Hallelujah. Miracles are not just for pastors. Miracles for all believers. You'll go to the hospital and pray for someone who is sick and they will be healed. You will pray for a blind person and their eyes will open. Can I hear an amen in this house? I think we need to go back to Pentecost, where the church walked in power, where the church should become a solution center. But it will never happen if we keep eating and eating and eating. In fact, when we announce fasting, that's the time your appetite for food goes to another level. Eating, it will never happen. Now, this Luke chapter 4, Jesus was fasting, isn't it? I want you to look at verse 14. I show you something. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. We are still in this story. Let's go to verse 14. After fasting, after being tempted, and the wisdom of God was seen in the life of Jesus. Look at verse 14. I want us to read together. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the region, surrounding region. He returned from a place of fasting with what? Shout it. Come on, you're not shouting. Shout it. He returned with power. He returned with power. So that means you might go in powerless, but when you're coming out, you are coming out with power. I prophesy this Sunday, as we conclude the fasting, you will come out with power. He came, he returned. This is not the ordinary Jesus that they knew. Marketing his father's tools and coffee tables. He returned with power. After fasting, he returned with power. After this fasting, you will return with power. You will go home with power. You'll go to your office with power. You'll go to your family with power. You will walk in that demon-infested region with power. And everybody will see and test that power in the name of Jesus. Shout amen in this house. We need this power. Oh, yes. Days of you being a powerless Christian are coming to an end. The year 2024, you will not be a powerless, voiceless Christian. You will be a powerful Christian. Can I hear louder? Amen. You will not run away from demons. Demons will run away from you. Can I hear louder? Amen. Somebody shout power. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 14. They brought a boy who had a challenge to the disciples of Jesus. A man came, kneeling, came to Jesus and saying to him, verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. They took the boy, the father took the boy to the disciples of Jesus. The father took the boy to the members of COT. Because they knew, because these members go to church, they carry some power. The father brought the boy to the disciples of Jesus. They are around Jesus. So he knew, instead of going to Jesus, Jesus is a busy man, everybody is looking for him. Let me go to the disciples of Jesus. Then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?" Remember, I told you, he said when he leaves, we must fast. When he lives in his bodily presence, we must fast. Jesus said, how long will I be with you to be bailing you out of problems every now and then? He says, oh, faithless. You see, fasting builds your faith. But because they were not fasting, they were faithless. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Next verse. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. He expected the disciples to do what he did, but they were not able to do it. Look at verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. They said, Jesus, can we meet behind the tent? We need to have a meeting. And said, why could we not cast it out? We've been with you. Then Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Fasting builds your faith to activate the supernatural in the natural. And then he says in verse 21, howbeit, can we read this? However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There is a kind. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I say there is a kind which will never move until you fast and you pray. There is a kind in your life. There is a kind in your situation. There is a kind in your family. There is a kind in your life. It will never move until you get to a place of prayer and fasting. This week, any kind, any impossible situation, any difficult situation, as you pray and fast, may it move in the name of Jesus. Every mountain that refused to move, as you pray and fast, and you stay in the presence of God, may it move in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen, in this house. Give somebody a high five and tell them it is moving in Jesus' name. It has to move in Jesus' name. Every incurable disease, every impossible situation, every difficult situation in your life, every difficult situation in your family, every incurable disease in your body, as we pray and fast, I declare that may it move in the name of Jesus. Shout a louder yes in this house. So tell your neighbor, eating will not help you to deal with this kind. There is a kind of multiplication you will never see by eating. And as believers, you need to come to a place where now you say, God, I want everything that you have said in your word. I want to experience everything that you have said in your word. I am tired of religion. I am tired of playing church. I am tired of just being an ordinary Christian. I want to be a Christian who carries power, who carries supernatural power, and power that I can dispense over my situation. Do I have those Christians in this house today? I'm tired of just pastoring ordinary people, ordinary Christians rather. Can't even rebuke a flu. You have to call reinforcement from intercessors to rebuke a flu. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Power is coming to the church. Oh, you're not here once. I say power is coming to the church. Power is coming upon you. As we fast and pray, may power come upon you. Shout a louder amen. Sit down. I give you number three. This kind. Fasting increases discernment. Fasting increases discernment. When the church was young, I told the staff to organize a retreat for their ISAF team. So they looked for a hotel, they got it, and we made some appointment. But the person that we were dealing with had been, I think, sacked from that hotel. So he was leaving. Is a true story. So he even gave us the receipts. And that day we went. When we got there, we were surprised. They say there's nothing like that. When they went to the receipt book, they found that that guy opened the receipt book and picked some sleeves in the middle of the book. And he conned us some monies. Have you ever been conned? Are you sure? Has somebody ever lied to you? Has somebody ever come to you with tears until you believed their story? Have somebody ever charmed his way into your heart, saying the right things that struck the right chord in you? Has somebody professed love to you and you believed him? Pyramid schemes, Bitcoin, I don't know which other coin. So many things are in the world today. If you don't have discernment, you will keep on losing money. You must get to a place where you say, I'll not lose money. I was listening to Warren Buffett. He was saying, one thing you should do, try and make sure you don't lose your money. If you want to be rich, don't lose money. Fight to not lose money. Look at the way you're quiet. You can see how much you've lost. Even bad debts is not a good decision. Yeah. This year you'll not lose money. Look, if some of you never lost the monies you lost, tell me where you'll have been today. If some of you, if that joker never came to your life to mess you up, you know the joker. Or you have forgotten the joker. You remember the joker with a nice suit and fake glasses. If you are able to pick him in the spirit, if you're able to pick that person in the spirit, your life could have been different today. So fasting increases your discernment, because this life, there are people who want to make a killing out of you. Oh, yes. There are people who are looking for you. You, as you are praying that God may bless you, there is somebody who is not working. He's waiting for you to make it. And then after you make it, they say, I have come. We need to chop this money together. The worship team side is very quiet. I don't know if they're in that situation or what. That's why fasting is important. Praise the Lord. Discernment does not happen because you eat. Discernment happens when you fast. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 32. Tell your neighbor, this year I'm not losing money. Tell another one, this year somebody is not going to play around with my heart. Exodus chapter 32. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days. What is that? Fasting. In the presence of God, having a conversation with God. This is what we call supernatural fast. Three people did supernatural fast in the Bible: Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Moses, he's with God on the mountain, and he overstayed according to the people who were at the foot of that mountain. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and say to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses," as for this Moses, they are not even saying as for our leader. "As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." You see, down there they were eating a lot. That's why they even didn't have discernment to know that Moses is in the presence of God. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. When he comes from that place, he's bringing us goodies. But they say, we don't know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters." So those days, even sons were wearing earrings. These people who are very spooky. You see a man wearing an earring, you start saying, "I bind the devil in the name of Jesus." It's a cultural thing. "Oh, I think this guy who is wearing earrings, I think he's a homosexual." So you know homosexuals. Are you not one of them? This side is quiet. "Which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then verse 3. "So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron." Moses is on the mountain, fasting, in the presence of God. So close to God that God is having conversations with Moses. And Moses is telling God, "I want to see your face." God says, "You can't see my face. If you see my face, you'll die. But I'll show you my back. I'll cover your face, but I'll allow you to see my back." Hey. For me, that is even enough. Because I am sure you have never even seen the back of your neighbor. This side is very quiet. I think I should only preach to this side of the congregation. These guys are very spiritual. But I think what I've said is true. And Moses settled for that. And so Moses is having a good time with God in his presence. These people who are down here, they have grown impatient. And now they are looking for another God. And he received the gold from their hand. This is Aaron now. Aaron was the one that was left to be in charge of this rebellious congregation. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they say, "This is your God, O Israel." Look at that. "That brought you out of the land of Egypt." Tell your neighbor, it's a big fat lie. Verse 5. "So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.'" This Aaron is even confused. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Verse 6. "Then they arose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to do what? To play." Eat, drink, and play. And that is what we do. Eat, drink, and share. Parties after parties. Music. Make it nice. Let's have some music. Let's have some food. Let's have some drinks. You know, let's have a good time. And that is what is attractive to many people. That is what is attractive to the world today. And you see, because of that, they were not discerning what Moses was doing on the mountain in the presence of God. Up there, Moses is fasting and is in the presence of God. Down here, his people are feasting are drinking and they are dancing. And I'm sure they were not dancing to gospel songs, because they had already built another god, fashioned another god. So they were singing diamond songs. Word by word, without a screen. Isn't this the picture of the church today? Oh yes, this is the picture of the church today. We're in the valley dancing. We're in the valley. We have erected another god that we were. Our god is food. Our god is our stomach. That's why you can see the joy, even in the church, because we have hit the last week. We are not now counting the days. We are doing a countdown. Last Sunday, final stretch. We are now going down the mountain. The kitchen will be open next week. The celebration is at the foot of the mountain. You know, one of these days, I think, was it on a Tuesday or Friday? I said, you know, I was talking to another pastor and he told me, you know, as we are doing 40 days. I said, wow. Then on Tuesday, I told the guys who are here, maybe the Lord might speak to us to continue. Let me tell you, I had poured cold water in the service. Guys were thinking of how they will eat, how they will drink, and how they will dance on 28th. January ishe. Verse 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, who is the Lord speaking to? Why is God speaking to Moses? Because Moses is closer to him. Why is he not speaking to Aaron? Why is he not thundering the skies to speak to these guys who are eating, drinking, and dancing? They are very far from him. They will not even know he is speaking. He said, let me speak to someone who is close to me. That's why if you keep eating, you will never hear the voice of God. Never. You will never get direction from heaven. Never. This world, I want to tell you the truth. If God doesn't lead you, you're going to have very difficult days. You will struggle, I'm telling you. You will struggle. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, they have corrupted themselves. Moses is not at the foot of the mountain, but because he's close to God, God reveals to him what is happening at the foot of the mountain. That tells me when you fast, you don't need to be in a place physically. You will still know what is happening there because God will reveal to you things. So Moses begins to descend the mountain. Verse 8. God says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten, a molded calf and worshipped and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the Egypt. And he repeats everything to Moses. Everything, word by word. What this guy said in the valley. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen these people. And indeed, it is a stiff-necked people. They love eating, they love drinking, and they love dancing, and they love worshiping idols. Stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses begins to plead with God. Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Oh Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? You see, when God was speaking to Moses about the people, he told Moses, these are your people. When Moses responds, he tells God, these are your people. It's like fathers, when the child is doing well, my son. When the child is not doing well, go and talk to your mother. Verse 12. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out of harm to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, and say to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Moses is having a conversation with God. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he will do to his people because of Moses. Verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mountain. And two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other they were written. Next verse. Are you tired of reading the scriptures? Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on their tablets. Verse 17. And when Joshua heard noise of the people as they shouted. Now Moses was on top of the mountain. The people were at the foot of the mountain, but Joshua was halfway the mountain. So as Moses is descending the mountain, he meets Joshua. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they were shouting, so Joshua was closer to the people than he was to Moses. In terms of proximity, he was closer to the people than he was to Moses. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So the distance between Joshua and where Moses was longer than the distance between Joshua and the people. So that means Joshua was closer to the congregation than he was to Moses. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. There is a noise of war. People are fighting. Maybe people have attacked your people. Your people are fighting back. But Moses said, no, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. Discernment. Because already God had told him what is happening in the valley. So Joshua is giving him a report, but it's not accurate. But because Moses had discernment, he told him, no, they are not shouting for victory. They are singing. They are worshiping something else. They are eating, they are drinking, and they are dancing to diamond songs. Joshua, this is not praise and worship. No! These people are backslidden. How did Moses gain discernment? Because he was in the presence of God. He gained discernment through fasting. He was on the mountain fasting and waiting upon God. And God revealed to him the state of the children of Israel at the foot of the mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to show you something here, that fasting is powerful. Fasting will increase wisdom. Fasting will increase power. But also fasting will increase discernment in your life. You will make a right turn because of discernment. You will make the right decisions because of discernment. You will hook up with the right people because of discernment. You will get the right partner for your business because of discernment. But when you lack discernment, you're going to take some wrong turns. You're going to make some foolish decisions. You're going to hook up with people who are going to bring you down. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to marry a wrong person. Oh, yes. You can marry a wrong person. Love is blind. Oh yes, it is. He's blind. But you need discernment. To know that this person you are marrying, at some point, they will not leave you and you will not leave them. Because you see, sometimes you are very attracted to somebody because of their features. But after you see those features for a while, you get used to them. True or not true? So what keeps you together is what? What keeps you together is what? Because when you see, when you're not married, you are looking forward. Hey, I need to know this person. Then you get to know them. Then? You're just imagining you'll be walking on the beach together, holding hands. And then you walk on the beach and hold hands. Then? You imagine you'll be sleeping, she'll be at the left. You wake up in the middle of the night to see how she's sleeping. Then you wake up in the morning to see how she's living. And then? You know, early in our marriage, that is one of the things I wanted to do. So I used to wake up in the middle of the night to see how Pastor Mary is sleeping. I say, wow. Oh, what a beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, right now I sleep until morning. You need discernment. I say you need discernment. And I pray this year you will walk in discernment. As you fast, may you receive discernment. That you will not blunder. You will not make mistakes. Costly mistakes. You will not take a wrong turn. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout a big amen. Stand to your feet, somebody.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can now get in touch with Dr. Dazo Itachero on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.